In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The entire Old Testament was a shadow of things to come. The reality is found in Christ. Israel was never meant to be a nation perpetually, but they were put in place until the promise became flesh. Jesus is the embodiment of Israel. Where they stumbled, he remained faithful. Where they sinned, he remained holy. So he relived the story of Israel. He was not following them or mirroring them, but they pointed to him. What they endured and experienced revealed what he would endure and experience. He is Israel reduced to one, as the saying goes. In the old, the new is concealed. In the new, the old is revealed. Now Herod had ordered the Magi to tell him where the Christ was, so that he might go and destroy him. But God warned the Magi in a dream, and they returned to their country by another route. And God does not send his Christ with the Magi. Certainly they believed in him and perhaps could have even protected him. But he sends him in the opposite direction to Egypt. The scriptures must be fulfilled. Out of Egypt I have called my son. As Israel sojourned in Egypt to escape death by famine, so Christ sojourned in Egypt to escape death by Herod. Israel left Egypt to journey by faith into the promised land. Jesus was called out of Egypt to live by faith in the promised land. Israel failed time and time again. Jesus did not. As true man, he learned to refuse evil and choose good. His experiences taught him to live by the word of God, though he was surrounded by sin and death. His own would not receive him. Joseph had to take the child and his mother and flee in the midst of the darkness, as that darkness fell to destroy. But he fled because it was not yet his time. He will die, but not yet. He entered the world as a man and was immediately relegated to a stable, and then was driven out of his own country. His own would not receive him. But again, the scriptures must be fulfilled, for Christ did not come to turn this earth into a paradise. He did not come to put an end to every single evil on this earth right away, immediately, to stop sin, to stop tragedies, immediately. The world remained steeped in sin, under the dominion of the devil, and darkness continued to surround, and evil will abound, and he will be rejected by those who are close to him, and many will be killed. For his kingdom is not a kingdom of this world. His kingdom, his heaven, his paradise is not on this earth. Which means that our home is not on this earth either. As eagerly as we turn the calendar over, let us far more eagerly await our trip to heaven. We have been called out of this pagan world to be a people of God. Sin rages all around us, and it will not stop in 2022. Darkness surrounds us, and it will continue even this year. We do not see God's omnipotent hand. We do not see him immediately putting an end to all evils, atrocities, and tragedies. But we see the Herods of this world pursuing their own agendas and killing anyone who gets in their way or harming anyone who gets in their way. We see sinful hearts filled with the same darkness as Herod, hurting the very ones that they are called to protect, and those even whom they love, and thus in the process harming themselves. Sadly, we see this in ourselves as well. But we also see Emmanuel fleeing to Egypt for us, so that he might redeem us at the proper time. The scriptures must be fulfilled. Out of Egypt I have called my son. He is the perfect Israel that the nation could never be and that we could never be. He must live by faith at all times where Israel doubted and where we have doubted God's control over all things. So what Herod intended for evil, God intended for good. He does not react harshly or throw himself into a fit of rage when men do horrible things. There are no quick outbursts of anger from God, but he flexes his almighty power by being carried away to Egypt and then brought back to Egypt so that you might follow him out of Egypt. Egypt is symbolic of this world, a place filled with riches and filled with gross idolatry. So his blood marks the doorposts of your heart, and the angel of death has passed over you. You are free to serve the living God. You follow Christ out of this pagan Egypt, so caught up in darkness. For like Herod, they can only die, but you live in the promised land. That is your home. He has promised that he is your savior. His forgiveness reveals your great power and might. His forgiveness reveals his vast knowledge. He knows each and every one of your sins. You know but the tip of the iceberg, but he knows each and every one of them, so that he might take away each and every sin by his blood, his death, his cross. So he does not stop every tragedy, atrocity, or horrific event, or sin. At least not in the way that you think he should. But he does stop them. He stops them by sending his son to Egypt, by bringing him back to Israel, by offering him up on Mount Moriah as a sacrifice in your place. He stops them by fulfilling the scriptures. Love defines him, not wrath or vengeance, but love, forgiveness, patience, long-suffering for all people. He loved Herod, and he loves you. He died for Herod, and he died for you. Though Herod rejected him, he still longed to gather him to himself. Do not question his love. Do not be so nearsighted that you fail to see eternity is at stake for these people. Do not be so arrogant as to think somehow you are more worthy of God's love than Herod is. Though sin and darkness continues to surround, though he is rejected and must flee, he loves them, and he longs for the light of his word to pierce the darkness of their hearts so that they would be called out of this Egypt and into his heaven. St. Peter tells us, do not be surprised when fiery trial comes upon you as a test, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice insofar as you share in Christ's sufferings, that you may also be glad when his glory is revealed. Atrocities and tragedies will continue to decorate this new calendar. It's nothing new, it's nothing strange. God told us beforehand it would be like this. Though it feels like the darkness continues to close in, God has provided a way out. That way out is not earthly peace, it's not prosperity, it's not a season of rest. It's not troubles going away in a timely manner, or it's not the midterm elections or new government or lower gas prices. But the way out is following Emmanuel, leaving behind this fallen world with all its lusts and desires and marching ahead to the promised land in faith. When Joseph brought the child and his mother back to Israel, he settled in Galilee. Again, the scriptures were fulfilled, which say he would be called a Nazarene. Nazareth was a despised city. It was a slur. They were backwards, uneducated, uncultured. Calling someone a Nazarene is like calling someone worthless. Think of Nathanael's response. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? And so his life will not improve as he grows. He will be despised and rejected his whole life. They gave him no bed as an infant, and they gave him no bed as an adult. Christ remained an unwelcome guest. Yet in this region of Zebulun and Naphtali, a great light has shone on the people. The darkness has begun to be scattered as Christ preaches and teaches. He remains an unwelcome guest, even today, by many at least. But he is our answer for every trouble. We pray, Lord, things have not gone the way that we have wanted. Make this year better than last year. How short-sighted we are. And he answers, be of good cheer. Emmanuel walks among you today. His light shines in the darkness as his word and his sacraments are given. So Jesus resets our mind for this year and our expectations. The scriptures are fulfilled. Jesus forgives you, and that alone will make this a tremendously wonderful year. For he is our way out. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.